Talking Heads from the Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors.
Hello, this is Liz Sandwith, the Chief Professional Practice Advisor for the Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors. And today I am very fortunate to be able to have a conversation with an esteemed colleague, Hina Patel, who is a Senior Internal Audit Manager, I'm sure she'll give you her title in a moment, at RSA Royal Sun Alliance. So Hina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So thank you very much, Liz. I'm Hina Patel and I am the Group-wide Head of Strategy and Operations, which means for RSA Internal Audit, I look after all of our strategic initiatives, our best-in-class journey, making sure I lead that and push it through the entirety of the function, supporting all of our regional teams. But I also look after the operations within RSA Internal Audit, which involves a heavy focus on reporting and communication to the Group Audit Committee and the non-executive directors, amongst other things, as well as methodology, MI reporting, anything to do with the regulators as well.
Gosh, that sounds a fairly extensive remit
yes.
that you have. And in among all that, you have some time for fun as well,
I Yes, hope. of course. Always.
You very kindly presented for us at our AGM reporting seminar that we ran. And in your slides, you mentioned freedom and responsibility within the framework, allowing for innovation, achievement and contribution. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could explain a little more about what you mean by this.
Mm-hmm. And to explain that concept of freedom and responsibility within a framework, I wanted to take a slightly broader picture first around how we performed our transformation, really very briefly. We didn't take a traditional approach to transformation, so we didn't have any project plans or lots of documentations or steering committee happening. What we did was try to do things a little bit differently. My background has a little bit of change in it, and what I had found is a lot of documentation and governance was great in terms of delivering a change, but it ultimately didn't always take people's hearts and minds with them. So our transformation was focused a lot on developing a really clear purpose. Having a clear framework that allows us to pursue that purpose very consistently and relentlessly, and then hiring very talented people, people that have a very growth mindset, very forward-looking and energized to take the function forward. And what we decided to do is within that framework, because we were hiring great people, give them a lot of freedom, but also be very clear on what their responsibilities are, basically what they were on the hook for in terms of delivering, in terms of outcomes for our stakeholders, but also taking our function forward and working very collaboratively and collegiately within our team. And that concept of freedom within a framework has been borrowed from Spotify, where our framework really focuses quite heavily on agile ways of working. So what we try to do is give our people responsibilities within that framework, but also a really clear view on outcome and the purpose that we're trying to achieve. And then they have a sense of freedom in terms of how they can get there. So in terms of thinking about innovation and creativity and the way they work, they have a level of freedom to think about different ways of working as long as they get to that right outcome.
So how have your stakeholders reacted to this slightly different approach to internal audit reporting?
So we had a stakeholder in mind, and Agile has stakeholders in mind quite heavily. We didn't talk a lot to them about how we do things, but what they've found is the insights that they gather from this different way of working and getting these great people on board and the interactions that they have with our teams has created a real step change in the relationship between us and our stakeholders. And we went from a position where internal audit was a function that was in place, but there wasn't as much pull for, whereas now, after about 3 years of transformation, we get a real pull for our work. We get a real pull for our reports as well at the most senior levels. So people are interested in what we're having to say. And a lot of that is really down to the right people and giving those great and talented people the freedom to really get to the right outcome.
That sounds really exciting. You also spoke when you did your presentation for us about small iterative improvements driven by obsessing over the right things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound very internal audit-ish.
No, and it wasn't very procedural or processy either. No, so the way we did our transformation is with that freedom within a framework in mind, we thought a lot about getting the best out of people and taking them on the journey with us, as I say, taking them from a hearts and minds point of view. And we did that by taking a handful of obsessions, and that thinking comes from sports psychology, effectively. So maybe at the most five things, really genuinely a handful of things that we could focus on and really obsess about. These are the things that every day we think about. And it wasn't a, we need to make a big bang change in terms of getting people to go on the journey with us. It was about focusing on the right things. One of those was report writing and making sure that we get the best out of the reports that we can have. So the best stakeholder interactions, the key messages that we give, and really have a clear impact in the way we work. And we focused on those, shared really good practices when people did it well. They worked with people that weren't as strong at report writing. And really very, through that focus and emphasis and iteration and feedback, made quite a difference in the quality of the reports that we were producing for our stakeholders.
So your report writing is almost a collegiate, collaborative approach?
Very much so. So report writing formed one of our key obsessions, one of our foremost obsessions early on. And the way we worked it was a combination of factors. So we had a squad, an agile term that we use, that worked across regions, working to identify people, one, that were very good at report writing, but also two, good examples and sharing those insights. So something that worked really well with a stakeholder, we would permeate through the entirety of the function and everyone would understand why something worked, but also why other things didn't. So it was a collaborative approach to report writing. The other thing that we did was, which was a little bit interesting, was hire a copywriter to perform some training with the team. So it was only a half day session, but it was taking report writing from a different angle, someone who had expertise in conveying really clear messages and working with the team on how they could really do and think about their reports differently. The other element of our report writing obsession was very much focusing on the stakeholder, taking their perspectives, what's really important to them to help us influence from a stakeholder point of view.
Okay, that sounds really great. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes a report insightful? You talked about this in your presentation. Mm. Can you share some examples?
So one of the things that we thought about in terms of our report writing and more generally in terms of our journey was providing insights that really matter. So we were going to, I talked a little bit about us having a real focus on our purpose. And for us, it's to keep RSA safe and improving. But we do that by providing insights that really matter to our stakeholders and being the best, as we call it, best in the world at spotting danger for RSA. And we broke down those terms, providing insights that matter, in terms of what is really insightful and what really matters. And insightful for us was things like being very commercial, having a group-wide perspective. RSA operates across three main regions, but there are lots of commonalities, and being able to provide themes and insights across regions and best practices across regions was really useful to our stakeholders. Being insightful was being very business-specific, providing also external benchmarking. So as I talked about recruitment and getting good people in to the function, we were able to provide lots of external perspectives as well as internal perspectives as well. So all of those things, and making sure that we weren't just talking control speak, for want of a better term, but actually very much in a business and commercial language.
So if I remember correctly, Ralph Dowles, who's your group chief audit exec, talks about your business and I'm not suggesting it's just your business, but your CEO saying, don't tell me where there is a fire, but tell me and help me stop that fire starting. So is this how this all links to being insightful and obsessing?
So we thought a lot about that statement, and it's about finding those sort of burning embers or where the smoke's starting rather than when the building is catching fire. And part of that is by hiring people that have the skill sets of the future and being able to get ahead of the business as it changes and evolves. So really providing check and challenge as the business moves. That was a key way for us to try and provide insights on a timely basis, but actually trying to get ahead of the business and providing a little bit of foresight. Yeah.
Okay. RSA Internal Audit has a rather unique team structure and framework. And you've mentioned previously, as one in your slides, breaking down silos and hierarchies. What do you do to demonstrate this? What does this mean to you?
So the as one model was really quite pivotal in our transformation for us. We started from a position where we had three main regions, but they really worked in silos. So they were separate and individual teams. As One meant that we changed that to work specifically as one team, regardless of location, and also really in a very hierarchy agnostic manner. And that meant that we could use the full breadth and depth of expertise across our team. I talked a little bit about agile and working in squads. The way we form our teams is trying to get effectively like a dream team from across our entire operating model. And that means it doesn't matter if that person is at the most senior level or the most junior level. What matters is the expertise that they can bring to the team and being the right person for the job in delivering that audit outcome. It also meant that we basically turned the model upside down a little bit. So it was all about the team and their success and that freedom that we could provide them to get to that right outcome. And the role of the leader changes a little bit in that. So it meant that we as leaders were there to support and remove blockages for the team. But actually, it's all about the team and helping them get to that successful outcome.
But I guess it also means that perhaps more junior staff that may have to wait a fairly long time to get some responsibility in an audit, get the opportunity really to early. Shine earlier.
Yeah, very much so. So it gives our teams, they can set themselves up how they want. They have the freedom to do that. So we don't operate in a particularly hierarchical way. But they also get a lot of opportunity to take on additional responsibilities, as you rightly say, but also showcase themselves to members of the leadership team and also showcase themselves in front of stakeholders as well. So there's a lot of flexibility within the model. And what the team really love is they're connected globally. So it becomes one big community for them. They learn a lot from each other. There's a lot of benefit from them around learning from skilled individuals within the team, but also learning different businesses, different cultures. And it's quite a nice way for them to expand their horizons as well. So they can get a lot from working together.
And I guess that model doesn't just have to be in a global environment.
No.
You know, even if you were all based in one office, you could split and mix your teams.
Absolutely.
For various different audits.
Yeah, and it's getting the right person for the job.
Yes.
In your team, so that doesn't have to be on a global basis at all.
Yeah. No. So finally, can we just ask about the point you made around it's for internal audit to draw attention, but ultimately for management and those charged with governance to decide what is acceptable. So just shed some light on that for me from a reporting perspective.
Yeah, so when we were starting our journey, we talked a lot to our stakeholders, and one of our senior stakeholders talked a little bit about it being management's responsibility to make key decisions around the level of risk that they're willing to take, which is entirely in line with risk appetite. So as we report, what we're very clear on is trying to be transparent as to where we think the issues are and trying to create a sense of accountability, I suppose, being really clear on the accountability of management to manage those risks. But it's really for us to draw to attention to the appropriate governance levels where we think those risks might not be as clearly set out or be as clearly discussed and decisions made at the most senior levels. And that's had a big impact on our reporting. So we're never in a position where we're telling management what to do. We're very objective in the way we work, but we are there to actually draw and bring to light some of the challenges or issues that might be coming up within the business at the most appropriate forums. So informed decisions can be made.
So you highlight issues, call out things that you observe, and then encourage management to come up with the solutions.
Exactly that. And what often works well is that management can then have the discussions at the most appropriate governance levels. And if risks are accepted, which sometimes they can be, or a remediation approach takes longer than you would typically like or one would typically like, then that's really well discussed and really well and transparently known at the right levels.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. Thank you very much, Hina. You have shed a lot of light and given us, I'm certain, and the listeners to the podcast, lots to think about in the way that we do report writing so that we can get maximum benefit from our communications to our stakeholders, our customers, from the effort that we put into doing an audit. So huge thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading Talking Heads from the Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors.